for an adult audience.
Michelle.
Love Line will contain sexually oriented content. Sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Listener discretion is advised. Listener discretion is advised. This is Love Line.
Love Line.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yeah. Woo! Get it on. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction manager, blah, blah, blah. Tonight from Saw 2, Beverly Mitchell is here.
Hello.
Beverly is also from 7th Heaven Monday nights, 8 o'clock on the WWWB. And born in Sylmar, California. Ooh, I'm sorry, sweetie.
I actually wasn't born in Sylmar. But they, right. Everybody likes to tell me that I was.
Where were you born? Right.
I was actually born in Arcadia.
Arcadia?
Yeah.
Better.
Now, Arcadia is quite a notch up from Sylmar.
It's very different.
Did you grow up in Arcadia?
A few years, but mostly I was raised in Camarillo.
How does Sylmar get woven into this horrible mix?
I have no idea. But, I mean, it's been up there for so many years, and I've been trying to correct it, and finally I was just like, all right, fine.
Camarillo's also quite a bit nicer than Sylmar.
For those of you who don't know and who are listening from around the country, I'm trying to say sort of Beverly Hills versus South Side of Chicago.
Right.
Sylmar is a dump.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Well, when she would have been born, it would have been especially bad.
Would have been super extra dumpy.
Yeah.
Arcadia, it all snaps into focus. Yeah, yeah. And then you head to, Brian Ventura?
I've never even been to Sylmar.
Good.
So that's so funny.
That's the worst part about the flight to Vegas. You have to fly over Sylmar.
Yes, you do.
Very. It's unnerving. Unnerving. Yeah. It's like, if we crash, I hope it's not in the Sylmar. I don't want the plane looted. Yeah, Saw 2, and we were just talking before about, first off, wasn't there some controversy with Saw 1 that there's some money owed and there's some allegations and some lawsuits or something like that? Am I making this up?
No, I heard something like
I've heard bits and pieces about it, but I really don't know.
And also,
details.
Beverly was telling us that the billboard or the ad campaign, which had the two fingernails that were the tattered fingernails. Have you seen
They look artistic. They look gratuitous.
No.
They're cool.
No,
I loved them. I thought they were great.
They hurt my teeth when I drive
past
them.
Yeah, but they weren't disgusting. I mean, they weren't inside.
Here's your job creatively. Your job is to beat the man on a technicality. It's like somebody said, well, there's no nudity and there's no profanity, and nobody said you can't eat pregnant June bugs and then have them come out of your nose on Fear Factor 2. And somebody said, oh, okay, that's what we'll do. You sort of beat the man on a technicality.
But this is just
holding up fingers with tattered fingers with tattered nails.
Yeah, well, I guess they're upset because they're cut off.
Are they cut off?
Yeah, because the bottom of the fingers were sliced off, and they said that was too much.
Oh, you couldn't even see that.
It's funny, though. How's
the bottom of your finger sliced off?
They cut it at the bottom, so you see, like, you kind of see a little bit of, like,
you see
the bone.
A nub?
No, it's not nub. You just see, like, the skin and the blood and...
Well, that's
I thought it was cool.
Well, isn't it just the tattered fingernails I'm looking
at? Well, they have a new poster where you don't see the bottom of the finger. So maybe
that could be it.
But the original poster, which is now like a huge collector's item because they had to pull them all.
Huh.
And
yeah.
I have one.
Ooh,
so
nice.
I'm super excited.
It's signed by the cast.
I know. I should get it signed.
A lot of Sploozers out there for Beverly, you noticed?
Yeah, I did. Cavalcade of Sploozers. Yeah. They love this stuff. And I'm all right with the horror genre, but when did it become okay for adult males to brag about comic books and Star Wars and all that stuff? Something happened a few years back where guys can now openly pronounce their love of comic books.
You know
they
what
can
that is?
Argue aloud in
you know
workplaces. Guys in their 40s.
It's
Silver Surfer kicks the Fantastic Four's ass, dude.
Because this is like the second.
What is going on?
No, Adam. It's like it's the second and third generation. The first generation, which was sort of our age, was carving the path for the upcoming generations. Those of their peers who watched them sink into Nerdville went, oh my God. But the kids coming up thought, that's cool. That's okay. That's just a choice.
Something happened. For some reason, I blame rotisserie baseball for getting it all, making it okay. But it started with guys. Like, it started with, hey, this guy collects baseball cards. And then people are like, you know what I did? I turned the other cheek. Right. I was like, I'm not going to collect any of these gay baseball cards, but I'll let the guy alone. And then the comic book stuff with adults, mind you. It used to be kids collected mm-hmm. cards, but then adults. Okay, all right. Then the fantasy league started up. Mm-hmm. Lots of grown men firing vitriolic emails back and forth about you started Brett Favre and you'd pass the trade deadline for announcing your starting team. These are guys in their 40s, not speaking to other guys in their 40s over $8 worth of a fantasy football game, and turn the other cheek. But then it's like guys announcing that they're going to be waiting in line for Star Wars and
costumes,
goofy costumes,
and guys collecting cars,
and this one too. This is what's happened to guys too. Like, you know, guys come into the office and they're like, "Hey, got a new car," and you're like, "Oh, what'd you get?" "I got the Acura. I got the Integra," and you're like, "Oh, did you get the Force inline four, the V6 and they're like, "I don't know," but they're thinking about making Marvel's thinking about sending a Silver Surfer figurine out. I'm gonna get in line. It's like, what?
Oh, and then the little models they've
collected. Yeah, like, here's the thing, fellas, you're supposed to be thinking this stuff, but you're supposed to be too humiliated to speak it aloud in front of other adults. When did this become okay?
If you had a secret
collection.
Well, it's
definitely not sexy.
It's not sexy,
no,
is
it's
it?
Definitely not sexy.
No. What
girls don't dig it. It's definitely not a selling point for any female.
What is, I mean, look, guys should have hobbies and things, but what's the collecting of junk? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have a little bit of a collecting. You do too.
Well, I like cars and tools, I don't know.
It's a little bit.
Yeah, but
I mean,
cars are cool.
But you can kind of appreciate the collecting impulse. It just goes south.
No, to collect something is awesome, but comic books, once you start getting in your 30s and 40s, maybe it's just. Just keep it to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's all. All right. Movie, October 28th is this Friday.
Yeah, right? This Friday, Halloween weekend, we've got a...
I'll tell you, this idea of doing the horror genre, genius, because always makes money, and you always get a sequel, and possibly, you can possibly keep going.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do a three.
Because it's on franchise.
Yeah. Talk about range, too. Seventh Heaven and Saw, too.
I just wanted to mix it up a little bit.
Oh, done and done.
Yeah. It was fun, though, you know, being a minister one day and then, you know, turning around and being in a house where everyone
gets sawed up.
Yeah, well,
messed up.
Growing up on the mean streets of Sylmar paved the road for Beverly's film career. You know what I mean? It'd be tough.
That's right.
It'd be tough growing up at Sylmar. Angela?
Hi.
21?
Yes.
What's up?
I have a question. I was wondering why I can't be affectionate during sex or, like, any other time.
Got that little girl voice, baby doll.
Yeah.
What happened?
That sort of suggests
something
sort of
happened.
Arrest to us.
What?
Something maybe happened to you when you were about 8 or so.
Yeah, well, I was molested between the ages of 10 and 13.
There you go.
Wow. And that's what we heard.
So that may have some...
Just to let everyone know and Beverly, no, can't be affectionate during sex. Boyfriend bothered by it. Why can't she? That's what it says
on the
screen.
That's the only info we get.
No molestation whatsoever, but first three syllables, you can hear something's up.
Well, what's interesting, she sounded a little older than the usual 4 to 8-year-old. She sounded like a little more than 8 to 12.
Well, and there she was. Who molested you?
This guy that went to my church, he was like maybe 3 years older than me.
All right, but can you understand that having a horrible experience like that can affect your feelings about yourself when you're sexual?
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I don't understand, like, even with not men, like, even with women, I'm not affectionate. Like, I don't give hugs. I don't like anything like that. Like, I just keep my distance from, like, everybody.
All right, again, Drew, is there any changing that, or are you just like a dog from the pound?
Well, it's an interesting question.
Walks around the tail between the legs.
I'm sure there is, but it has to be worked on. Your body boundaries were violated by this guy. And so naturally enough, you sort of recoil from people. It's just like if you'd stuck your hand in a socket or something. You sort of, you don't want to be around a socket anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of recoil from that sort of thing. It triggers all kinds of unpleasant feelings.
Mm-hmm.
That can be treated, and you might want to look into that. The fact that you can have sex, can have a stable relationship, that's very positive. But if you want to be deeper and more available in a relationship, maybe happier... Might want to look into that.
Hmm? Yeah.
I think it's also, too, because, like, my dad, he's, like, a pastor, and he's, like, super strict. So he's like, he's there, but he's like
seventh heaven,
you know, physically, but not emotionally. Mm-hmm. It's like marriage is more important than me, you know.
Well, that's interesting. Had it just been that, I don't think there would have been all these symptoms. The, I think the sexual abuse really put it over the top.
Right.
Ironic that it was his church.
What are you living out of the house now?
No, I actually got kicked out of my house like a month ago.
Oh. Why?
A month ago.
Why?
Yeah.
Because I have a boyfriend.
At 21, they know what you have a boyfriend?
No, they're like really strict.
Do they know you were sexually abused?
Yeah, they found out a couple years ago because like I started acting out sexually.
Mm.
So my parents like asked me, they're like, so did something happen to you when you were younger? And I was like, no. My mom's like, well, there is like something had to happen to you because you're not acting normal. And I was like, okay. And so my dad kind of suspected it when I was younger because like I would do weird things.
Like what?
Like, I would play with myself and stuff, like, when I was, like, you know, 10 or 11, and I, like, I don't know.
All right. Like, all right, how about a little?
I wasn't affectionate when I was younger, either.
Quiet. How about you get a little therapy?
I was in therapy, and my therapist, like, told my parents that it wasn't working.
Because you weren't willing to let it work. You got to get with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Whatever you want, Angela. It's all good.
What kind of
therapist? Seventh heaven, just like seventh heaven, isn't it? Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
What
kind of therapist cops that
No, play? That's actually, I like that when they do that. When somebody really is not responding to the treatment that that person has to offer or not participating, you just go,
yeah.
Move along.
My therapist should have done that 8 years ago.
We have to talk about this.
Angela?
Yeah?
Were your parents paying your therapist?
Yeah, they were.
They were, and he didn't want any more money.
No, a good therapist will say, hey, this is not working. You're not getting
all right. All right, baby.
And they usually give you some ideas, other options of treatment, perhaps. But
why don't you get back into it?
Not everyone's a candidate for therapy.
This time, let them help you. Would you please?
Okay.
Don't get pregnant.
I will.
Please. All right.
All right.
I believe her.
Yeah, I do.
Think of all the people I treat that just won't get with the program. I mean, I know who's going to get well and who isn't based on what they do.
But would you cut them loose few days into recovery or an attempted recovery?
Oftentimes, they're not doing anything. They're not willing to do anything. They're break collar rules. You go,
all right. Well, that's a troublemaker, and they're floating a turd in the punch bowl. But Angela, I mean, there's other people you got to worry about.
Well, there's another way of approaching this, which is you don't give up. You hang in there. But I'm not sure that's right. I think you let people go drift for a while, and then they come back when they're ready, and then they
all right,
it's
so
all an issue of ability
also,
to make change.
Some people at 17 not ready to get some therapy.
Yeah, it's hard for them.
Might be 20 years.
Well,
away.
Sometimes you have to find the right person that you feel comfortable with.
Right kind of treatments and that sort of thing, yeah.
Because I know my friends have had, we've all been into, I lost my best friend when I was 16, so we all had to.
What?
She was in a bad car accident and she passed away.
Ooh.
So we all kind of had to go and find our own people to talk to. And, it took me 5 years before I found someone that I could finally open up to. So you just got to be comfortable. Five years later.
Talking about the friend that passed away?
Well, finally realized like some of the issues it created for me, because I was like, I freak out if anyone went out of town and they didn't call me right when they got there, because I just didn't have any control over anything.
I'm that way, but I freak out if someone doesn't go out of town.
You want them to go out of town.
Everyone to leave.
If they call you, you're like,
please
go
out of town and do not call. Why are you still here? That's going to be the name of my new book. Wow. Hey, this was your best friend?
Yeah.
In like the 10th or 11th grade?
Yeah, I was a sophomore in high school.
Camarillo?
I know, actually. I went to high school in the Valley.
Somewhere.
No. I went in the West Hills. I went to Chaminade High School.
Chaminade. Private school.
Chaminade. On the road to
Chaminade. I had to go to private school because of my job. Public schools, it's too difficult to have us,
I thought you were gonna say
us
cop.
Actors.
Oh, yeah. Is it because of the hours or because people are weird or treat you differently?
Actually, you know what it is it's too hard on the teachers because they have so many students that it's... Like, to have a student who's not there, it's a lot of extra workload because they've got to, put the school plan together. They've got to grade everything in, like, bunches because you send it at months of a time, and it's hard on them. So you got to go pay the teachers to be able to do all the work that they have to do.
Right.
So, but it worked out good.
I always have to smile because everybody went to high school. I went to North Hollywood High. We just all sat around, just played with clay and stared at the clock. Didn't do anything. And it's always weird when people are like, well, you have to have the tutor come, and they have to come on set, and they have to make sure they get the homework done, and they have to grade that, and then that paperwork needs to be sent ahead. And I'm always like, well, what were we doing? We're playing with clay.
We had some. I mean, I'd work all day long, and then I'd have 3 hours if I could on set, if not more, and then I'd go home and study for another 4 hours. I mean,
wow.
Honestly, I think I'm so excited that I'm finally out of school because I finally now get to like have fun and play.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Loyola Marymount University.
Mm-hmm. It's a good college, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. It was fun. I lived in the dorms, too.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Drew, do you know where the Shyamala High School is?
No, it's like in Westlake or somewhere.
It's in West Hills, yeah.
History was taught by Bowser.
Always had a good basketball team, Shyamala.
Still?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I haven't been there in a long time.
You get the Bowser reference, Drew.
Do 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 do. How's that song go?
Shanana.
Yeah, Shanana.
There you go, buddy. Take a little while to sink in. AJ.
Yeah.
21.
Yeah, you got it, man. What's going on?
Hey, didn't he? Something happened to him. He died, right? Bowser.
Bowser from Shanana.
Didn't he? Look it up.
I think he did. I think he died semi-recently.
Shyamalan's got a wide receiver by the name of Marcus Everett, who plays at UCLA right now. He's pretty badass.
Marcus, huh? Which?
Marcus
okay,
Everett.
Drew, don't keep Everett. Going here. What are you going to do?
Say again?
AJ, go ahead, AJ.
Okay, so we have a two-part question, but the second part is more important than the first part.
Hold on a second. This guy got worried. Genital warts. I'm tired of genital warts.
That's a cancer question.
Good. Let him wait. I'm tired of the medical stuff. Clean and sober now on the left side. A vagina swollen. Possible SE. A question for the guests. I want a vagina question. Jamie?
Yeah.
24?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, my left labia is swollen, and it has like a tubular... Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe a cyst or of some sort.
Mm. Yeah, it's usually a Bartholin's gland cyst.
Now, if I'm facing your vagina, that's my right?
Yes.
Okay, so it'd be where my right ear would be.
Right. No, your cheek.
Cheek. Sorry, orbital socket.
Yeah.
Right nostril?
Yeah. Right.
Or the right side of it.
No, okay. No, it's a little out further, more lateral.
Oh, really? Well, you don't know how I work.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
How dare you?
Well, yes. I don't like that anyway, so...
Oh, really?
No. And I've been told many times that it's just the way it's been done, but that's not true. I just don't like it.
Really? But do you like the intercourse part?
Oh, yeah. And I like to give. I just don't like to receive.
Mm. And are you multi-orgasmic?
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Ooh. Drew, what
happened, you're not,
buddy?
She's the sequential.
Yeah.
Well, Drew, you always make that distinction whenever you're wrong.
No, that is...
What kind of... And Drew, do not fill her mouth or mm-hmm. brain with
okay,
words.
Go ahead.
You have orgasms with intercourse.
Yeah, I have orgasms without intercourse.
Ooh, what do you do?
I can have an intercourse during a blowjob.
You can have an orgasm?
An orgasm during a blowjob.
Wow. And how many might you have during intercourse?
Somewhere between 5 and 15, depending on how long
Touché.
It lasts. Maybe like a 10-minute.
But is it not interesting?
BJ during intercourse. Wow.
Is it not
interesting
that it holds that women that have that multi-factor, so to speak,
not into the oral sex. Yeah. Waste of time. Yeah, like a lion being into the dinner salad before the meal.
It's
not interesting.
It's uncomfortable for them.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. Uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. I don't like to see the guy's head going up. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to do. So,
well, is it physically uncomfortable?
No. Just, I guess, visually uncomfortable.
And she really were into it. Like, she get over the visual stuff. You know
no, but I know, but it doesn't mean it's physical. She says it's not physically uncomfortable.
No, it doesn't hurt my back or anything. So,
but is it a little too intense, too direct stimulation?
Yes, too intense, okay. too direct.
See.
Yeah,
but see, Drew, when you just spoon feed everyone the answers, you want them to parrot back to you. As far as I asked her, it was physically uncomfortable. She said no. She
doesn't
like looking at the guy's head.
It doesn't hurt her neck, her back, she said.
Right, so obviously, she's not in touch with her vocabulary.
I'm not.
What's your question? Oh, the swollen part. All right, have you had a new partner recently?
No.
Is there any ulcer or growth or anything you see on the outside?
How would it look?
Like an ulcer, like a cold sore.
No.
Okay, it's probably a Bartholin's cyst. Those are normal, hot bath, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Saw a genital herpes commercial tonight on television.
Nice.
And it was, all genital herpes, any commercial where they're talking about warts or herpes or HPV or anything like that, it's always the attractive woman, but not sexy. not sex potty.
Right.
Attractive.
Right.
But not... Here's what you're looking for when you're doing the STD spot. You're basically looking for the same chick with the tampon and the douche spot, which is unblemished. Here's the look. You ready? Here's the look what we're going for. Beautiful skin.
Yeah. Good hair. Short.
Good hair, but not sex potty at all.
Brown
but not
hair.
Everything about them, there's nothing wrong with them. Never overweight. They never have a zit. They never have, you know, nothing wrong with the hair. But that, but beautiful, but in very down-to-earth sort of way.
Non-fetish.
I did not get this because I'm sexually out there, loose. I didn't give it up. I didn't get, you know, get teamed in the men's stall at the club during the rave.
She didn't.
Uh-huh. I got it that way. Uh-huh. She didn't get it that way. She got it legitimately. So here's what you need for these commercials. You need, first off, you need a woman. She has to be an attractive woman. Always very nice skin. Always that age. Not a kid. Not 19, but not in her 30s. It's always 26. 24 to 26, 28. Yeah. In there. Very nicely put together. Looks like a
little professional.
Yeah,
a little professional looking. Professional. But not specifically a working woman.
Not sure what she does, but if she did do something, it would be something semi-important and sort of professional, a little white collar, but she's in touch with her roots, too. She likes jazz as much as she likes
an environmental
hip-hop.
Lawyer or something.
Yes, yeah. That's a chick. Okay, that's number one. Number two... She must be in an environment that sort of abounds with nature. You know what I mean? A little outdoors, a little farmy, a little whatever. Whatever it is, it's very clean.
Yes.
It's very pristine. Right? It's not at work. Never working. Never at a tuna factory or anything like that. There's no conveyor belts involved with anything.
No canning.
It's good looking. And the other thing she asked, the other thing they need is a sampling from every ethnicity.
In the commercial?
Yeah. Black chick, never that black, though. All the white features, all the things. Fair skin. Has the black curly hair, but very light skin. Very light skin. Never black.
And Asian. Barely looks Asian.
They barely look Asian. Barely look black. And then three or four white chicks sprinkled in red hair, blonde hair, but not, again, not bleach blonde, not peroxide blonde.
Pamela Lee.
Not Pamela Lee. These are because anybody could get this. And again, I would love really examine the women of color on these things. They're really just they're white people that have been sprayed. I think they just put a filter on the lens to make them a shade darker because that's all they are. It's never Cheryl from Good Times.
Right.
Chewing gum, hair all up.
And they're always wearing like pastel, pretty colors.
Everything's
too.
Pastel-y. Yeah, everything's soft. And the thing that I was laughing my ass off about this commercial is they have the stooge in the background looking sort of concerned.
Oh, the guy.
It's an awesome
yes.
one. Yeah, guys in the background. This one actually had a guy. She was in her sort of summer house laundry room, and the guy was actually folding stuff in the background. And I thought, oh, my God, this guy must have been thrilled when his agent called. Hey, yeah, we need you to play P-Whipped Schlub number 3.
No, with herpes.
You'll be folding the herpes queen's underoos. Yeah, hang back there. And he's sort of looking, and the guy. It's a guy's job. Here's the guy's job in all these commercials. They stand a step and a half back from their lady. They're in the background. The guy's there so we know they're not dykes. Right. The guy's back there because they're heterosexual.
Right, make no mistake about it.
Make no mistake
about
it. She's
sort of married.
Unclear. Yeah. It's serious.
Monogamous.
It's monogamous. It's committed, whatever it is. He's nice looking. He's a pro. He's standing in the background, and he's doing a sort of thing where he's interested, but he's not going to steal focus.
No.
He's there to
this is her thing.
He's
we
there
to
back. He's there to back her up. She has this under control. He's in the back looking somewhere between supportive and concerned. and there's a little pride, too. Yes, this is my lady. Yes, she has herpes.
And we got to make sure
taken
the point
care
of the virus is suppressed, then we can have sex.
Right.
We're not going to have it before that.
Right.
I'm waiting here folding laundry. In the
right.
Meantime.
Until then, it's just anal. I mean, that's what I'm reading into.
Oh, of course.
I don't say it. There's no thought bubble.
But obvious.
It's obvious. By the way, the guy was folding the T-shirts. Geez. I could tell the way. When a guy folds a T-shirt that way, he's thinking anal. But I'm just laughing my ass off because, Drew, you got to see his commercial.
It's good. It's good.
There's three or four guys. They're all just standing in the background, and the chicks are deadly serious about their herpes. And the poor schlub's just standing in the back folding stuff. And I thought, what a puss. By the way, never a guy gets this. The guy's just in the background supporting the ladies.
Well, the guy's never going to take care of it, I think, is the bottom
line. I think Pfizer or Upjohn, whoever's marketing this stuff is going, look, these guys, they're mules. They're spreading it around. They ain't doing anything about it.
Yeah.
We have to. It's like, we're not going to make a commercial to get rid of Rocky Mountain ticks and steer it toward dogs.
Right.
We're going to steer it toward the owners.
Right.
The women are the owners.
Right.
They own the herpes, even if the guy has it. They're the ones that are going to get to the clinic, get the medicine,
well,
take things
care of. They take care of business.
Take care
the
of
guy's
things.
Folding the laundry.
Folding the laundry. He's standing in the back. He's looking concerned, but he's not going to interrupt. And I could, man, he's got, I got the T-bone. I'm a madman. I stop and I'm ranting in front of the TV set. My wife's yelling at me. I'm like, who's she talking to, by the way? And you know, this guy's like, holy Christ, not another herpes conversation with the camera. And she didn't get it from this guy. You know what I mean?
Of course not. They haven't had sex yet.
Yeah.
He's folding laundry.
Yep. She got it from, the guy dropped out. The guy she went with, the bad boy, troublemaker, Blackie. Yeah, leather jacket. Rode a Honda Rebel. Oh. Yeah, tough guy. Gave her that, then banged her roommate. Split. Now I'm left to stand back and fold underpants in the herpes commercial. Awesome. Okay.
All right, here we go.
Let's take a break.
Yeah.
Let me tell the other thing I saw watching TV. I was watching one of these Home Depot commercials. And the chick was sitting there talking to the Home Depot representative who's, chock full of information and super helpful. I don't know if anyone's ever shot a Home Depot commercial, has actually been inside a Home Depot, but there's nothing that resembles that going on inside a Home Depot. It's basically Bazaar in Calcutta mixed with a Chinese fire drill mixed with Ellis Island, sort of circa 1927.
Right.
Strong funk, people running around in a daze, and guys in a plumbing department never heard of a plunger.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy is actually standing with the plunger going against his forehead, the husband, while she's talking business with the guy.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, my
God. I just thought, how long are we gonna perpetuate this myth over Madison Avenue that guys don't know what they're doing and chicks are the smart, they're the brains, they're the money makers. When the guy's left alone to cook breakfast, he starts putting eggs and toasters. Please, everybody, please, let's focus on what at Hoover Dam. Bunch of chicks. Who built Hoover Dam? Who built everything? Who does it? Who does everything? Who builds everything? Stop kidding yourselves. They're chicks that are handy. They don't build dams.
Guys, yeah, but chicks sell Home Depot.
Here's what it is. Find a white guy, kick the crap out of him. No one writes a letter. That's how it works.
You're cool.
Yeah. I would love a Home Depot commercial. I was in there and some ditzy blonde which had the plunger plunging her forehead while I was talking shop. Sweetie, come on now.
No, I just go, beat it.
Well, the ditzy blonde always gets more of the attention from the Home Depot guys, though.
True.
I've run into
Home
Depot.
But never gets herpes. She
never,
doesn't have herpes.
Never. Right. Beverly could be on the herpes commercial.
No, I think I'm good.
But you have nice skin. You have nice skin.
The hair that's sort of neutralish. You know.
But I got the blonde hair.
Yeah, but it's a neutral blonde.
It's not platinum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll stick to...
We could darken it, too. Can you ride a bike? Can you ride a bike with a basket on it?
And wear my pastels and walk in the park?
Well, she can do spinning, a little spinning action.
Yeah, you should be working out. Can you work out?
Kickboxing.
Well, kickboxing alone.
I love kickboxing.
Alone, no one else in the gym.
Wait, but I got to have my guy in the back folding the laundry, right?
No, not when you're kickboxing.
No.
It's implied that you just kick the crap out of guys.
Ah, gotcha.
Right. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Beverly Mitchell here tonight from, what's that medication called, Drew? Valtron.
Valtrex.
Valtrex. She's from the Valtrex ad. Also in
Vampire, Valtrex.
Saw 2. Saw 2 and also 7th Heaven. Take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
You have 5 seconds.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
2.
Back in a minute.
1.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Beverly Mitchell here tonight. Stars in Saw 2.
Oh, thanks.
Saw 2, which is coming out October 28th. And that's this Friday, by the way. And also plays Lucy on 7th Heaven. 10th season.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's insane.
I know.
I started when I was 15.
That means she's...
24. I turned
25 then. Okay, all right. I got you.
I'm 44.
I was warehoused, remember? Yeah. You know, I know 7th Heaven's been around for a while, but I wouldn't have guessed 10 seasons.
Like
Drew.
I don't want to.
We're the little show that could.
Yeah.
Nobody ever expected us to go anywhere because we were, the family show that came on during, 90210.
Right. I do miss that 90210, though. I like that.
That was a good show. I loved it.
Well, it wasn't a good show, but
I had fun. I loved it. Well, it was a big thing for me growing up.
Yeah, you were 11, though. I mean, I was 28 watching it like an idiot. Yeah. All right. Let's talk to AJ. We'll get back to AJ. AJ?
Yeah,
I think
you have to speak. Hold on 1 second.
21. All right. He has the girlfriend that has ovarian cancer.
Allegedly.
No, not girlfriend. Wars. Not girlfriend. This girl I hooked up with randomly. She said that she had a cyst on her ovaries, and that became cancerous. But she wasn't raped as a child or whatever. And then
it's amazing. I let me try to clear all this up for you, AJ. Cysts are not cancer. Okay, they're cysts. You either have a cyst or you have cancer, and you can have cystic, like you can have cystic ovarian cancers, but cysts don't become cancer. Okay, and right. We're talking about the ovary inside her abdomen, in the pelvis. Where do you get the idea that rape has anything to do with that? Ovarian cancer, like breast cancer, like brain cancer, like liver cancer, occurs sporadically in women. It's not uncommon.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how ovarian cancer. I heard like 60% of it was due to getting
warts?
Raped and attracting the genital herpes.
Is this a wart thing?
Genital herpes. I think you're confusing cervical cancer.
He's the guy who's ironing the underpants in the background.
Oh, yes,
in the commercial.
Was he ever. Well, he justifies that reputation, though. Cervical cancer is caused by genital warts, which has nothing to do with genital herpes, and genital warts have nothing to do with rape because most women have genital warts.
Well, but what if you got genital warts through rape when you were at a young age?
However you got it, it's not the warts aren't something related to rape, you know what I mean?
No, I know, but the whole idea is if you have warts and you leave it, if you have HPV as a woman and it goes unchecked for some time.
If you're not getting monitored carefully.
Then it could turn into something. So if you got molested, raped at a young, age 11 or something.
And then didn't get any more health care after that?
Well, you're not going to the gynecologist if it's not reported, then it can take a grip. You know,
yeah, what I'm
saying? That's my only theory. Yeah. But now is the warts the cervical cancer or the
yes?
But it's not the ovarian.
No,
cancer.
The warts are cervix is in the vagina and it's outside your body.
Right.
Ovaries are inside the body. How could the warts get inside the body? You know what I mean?
Drew, well, you're the one who say like Drew's like lungs, stomach. Lower intestine, outside of the body. I'm like, okay, Drew. All right, forget it. Fingernails, outside the body. That I'm with you on.
Your
eyebrows,
the
outside
tube,
the body.
Your mouth, your anus.
Vagina, inside. And if it's out, I'm leaving, and I want my money back.
Vagina's outside the body.
That's my whole thing. I see the vagina outside the body. I'm going to have to ask you, leave the bachelor party, and I'm going to need it. No. Take the boom box. No, he doesn't need to stay here. No one needs to make change anymore. I'm going to need you to leave. I'm going to need the money back.
Vagina is... It not doesn't extrude from the body, but it's outside the body, and the tube from your mouth to your anus entirety is outside the body.
That's the part I like. That's the part I like. The outside of the body, mouth to the anus, all outside.
All outside, outdoors. It's a great outdoors.
Don't be careful, because if you fall down in a wooded area, like with twigs and gravel and stuff stuck to it. All right, so So what I'm saying is it's not ovarian cancer. But what's he talking about?
It's all,
all right,
he's all over the place. Yeah.
All right, well, by the way, this is someone he made sure just to tell us he hooked up with, so who cares?
Right.
Does he think he has HPV from
maybe
this woman?
Maybe that's it, and he might, I guess, if she has it.
AJ?
That has nothing to do with ovarian tumors.
Yeah.
What is your question?
Okay, it was a two-part. That was the first part. The second part is a little more serious, I'm worried about. I had a rough three-week period, and I smoked a lot, and I stopped smoking last week, and I'm 7 days sober, and I have,
well, what do you smoke?
Yeah, I was smoking weed heavily for 3 weeks. And I stopped last week, and I have this ongoing twitch in my left index finger and up to like 10 times an hour. And then that turned into my right hand, my right pinky, completely cramped in under my
Is he making this up?
No, he's getting sort of fasciculations.
He sounds
and
like he's scatting.
Pain. No, I don't think it's... Well, I guess it could
be... The guy does this one, too. He did one of these. Let me tell you about what happened yesterday. Hello? Hello? Are you there? What do you have to
You're
do?
Listening?
Like, every 3 seconds? Hey! Hey!
Hey!
Hey! Hey! It would be nice with the cell phones. All right, what should AJ do?
Hey!
Hey!
AJ, you may be hyperventilating in the withdrawal, something like that. What? Take lots of fluids to eat properly. There's really not a muscular problem.
What's up, buddy? You're 21. What
with the marijuana
so
withdrawal. Well,
you're
something
all
else?
Up in your head.
Are you withdrawing from anything else? Alcohol?
Relax.
That weekend I was. The weekdays I'll be smoking, and the weekends I'll be smoking and drinking. But I've been having these twitches all over my body. I just feel like there's something wrong.
Well, then get a blood test. Then get evaluated. Maybe there's some electrolyte imbalance. I don't see why young guys shouldn't get that, so it concerns me.
All right. Doing horror film after 7th Heaven. Oh, we got a question from young Eric. Eric?
Hey there, Dr. Drew. Hold on. Let me check the weather. Palo Alto checking in at 71. Boy, I would tell you, I was sitting at a three-way stop, and this old broad, you know, she's waving. I'm waving. Shake your ass. Blah, blah, blah. Hey, Drew, should I do the radio math? I got 4 feet, 7 3/16 inches, and 14,000 pounds. Oh, hold on. Chief Thundercloud wants to say something. Nah, nah, hey. Oh, 405 freeway's back up. Watch for brake lights. Mattress in the lanes. You know, I used to clean carpet. You know, I used to live with my good friend Reed. You know, now I'm literally Drew. I'm literally a millionaire. Literally. I should have my own garbage man. You know, blah, blah, blah. I got these pussy politicians over here. You know, well, listen, you do what we tell you to do. You know, I got these Culver City cops and their right-hand drive Chevettes writing these chicken-ass tickets. You know, blah, blah, talking about not enough manpower. Holocaust.
Yeah.
Eric you from know, Phoenix.
You know, let me tell you, most people brag about
it. Says Glendale up there.
Back, you know, let me tell you about receiving world, blah, blah, blah. Okay, ladies, break it down. Grab a knee. That helmet's not a chair. Blah, blah, blah. Cannot have.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
I actually used to live in a garage. You know, I crap in a decorative popcorn tin. Wow, beat off to a raft box. You know, and I can smell junior college. Hey, let me ask you, do you work around metal?
Yeah.
You know, Drew is a passionate man. David Alan Greer is a dear friend. And like, you know what, Drew? Let me tell you this. Rape, not a violent crime. No, is a violent crime, not a sexual crime. Drew, let me tell you something, Drew. It would be no different if you walked into a liquor store, pistol whipped the Korean guy behind the counter, and then came.
Poor Beverly.
No different.
Never heard the show.
Yeah, Beverly's like, what the hell was this?
Confused, disappointed.
What's happening, gentlemen?
It's Phoenix, right, Eric?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They're bordering.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
But got a question for Beverly. Actually, about 2 years ago, I won the first Saw DVD from you guys.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Was that 2 years ago?
Well, a year and a half, 2 years, I don't remember.
It was a year ago, because the first Saw just came out a year ago.
On DVD.
A year later.
I got
on
it.
DVD?
Maybe it seems like
well, no, the
theater.
Actual first one just came out a year ago.
The film.
The film.
The first Saw. Because we're a year to the day that the
oh,
first
really?
One came out.
One year
yeah.
to the day. All right.
Well, that's what it seems like.
Beverly, I'm sorry. But
well, hold on a second.
That's okay.
If he won the DVD from us, it had to be 10 months ago or
yeah,
something,
be like, yeah.
max. I mean, more like 6 or 7, probably. I mean, DVDs come out a couple months after the movie's released.
Yeah, I
days.
Think they released it pretty quick. I mean, it's...
All right.
They're trying to get their money fast.
How's a guy like young Eric get 8 or 10 months confused with 2 years?
Works in a mail
just
room.
Goes by fast.
Oh, that's right.
Works in the
that's
post
right.
Works
in the post office. I'll tell you how that happens. I've been moving for the last year, so it seems like 5 years. So I just estimated.
What do you mean moving? But what?
200% off.
That's okay.
Where are you moving?
There's a little town out west here called Tonopah. I got 4 acres, and we got a nice little home out there.
Tonopah.
Nanajay.
Yeah. Are you still doing the mail thing?
Working at the print shop. You guys always think it's a post office. It's a print shop.
Yeah. What is that?
Starts with a P.
That's all right.
All right, but do you do some late night work? You work graveyard or something?
Yeah. I get up at 1 o'clock in the morning.
All right. Ooh. I think that I don't know why that. That's the part that makes us think male.
Yeah.
Although they don't work in the middle of the night. Yeah, but anyway, they do. All right, Eric, go ahead and ask Beverly your question.
Okay. Coming from the background that you come from, 7th Heaven, you know, a whole wholesome environment and everything, I was just wondering if you get a lot of negative feedback or, you know, because obviously I'm sure that you still know a lot of people that you used to work with, and do they think you're crazy or evil or, you know, bad in any way for working on such a gruesome and graphic project?
No, and you know what? Actually, a lot of my fellow castmates, Catherine Hicks was in Child's Play.
Mm.
Jesse Biel was in Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes, she was.
And Barry Watson was in Boogeyman. So, I mean, everybody realizes we got to, you know, take risks and take roles that are different and challenging. When and it's not like I'm not promoting Saw 2, you know, for all the, you know, 5 to 10 year olds who watch my show. I'm picking my audience very carefully when I'm promoting.
Yeah.
Because it's a very violent film, but it is. I saw it again last night, and it's very awkward that I walk out with a smile. I'm so proud of it. I think it's so much fun. That's good.
Now, because it's just effectively executed and scary and does what it sets out to
do. Yeah, I mean, it's gruesome. But the thing is about all the violence and all of the gore, I mean, they all do have meaning. It is very story-driven. Mm-hmm. So it's not just, you know, just see somebody's like head fall off just for the...
But you will see somebody's head fall.
All right, but if someone says
something like that,
if somebody else look out first and then the head falls off,
there you go, story.
That's story. Yeah, that's what you call arc in the business, baby.
Yeah, story arc.
Any nudity?
No.
What happened to gratuitous nudity that I was so promising in the 70s and never seemed to carry forward? Here's the deal. You used to do a scary movie, there was nudity.
Always.
That was part of the package.
It's definitely not a sexy film.
It went with it. There was nudity that just came with it. It was like the parsley on the side of the plate.
We separated sex and violence down. Yeah.
You know what? Not me.
I know for you.
Not me. They're still together. We'll take a little break. Beverly Mitchell's here tonight from Saw 2, also Seventh Heaven. And we'll be right back after this.
Call 1-800-LOVE. To broadcast your problems to the public.
Love Line will be right back.
That's Dr. Drew, Beverly Mitchell, in studio tonight, star of Saw 2, out this Friday, also Seventh Heaven, on the WWWWB.
You love that, huh?
Yeah. Huge fan. Where'd that went away, Drew? Where'd that go away?
You declared it dead.
The frog?
First season it appeared.
Mm-hmm. Maybe before it appeared.
That's right. We were doing it before it actually made its debut.
Drew and I had to do some promo when Loveline was going to be on a WB station in Chicago. Remember?
Yes, I do.
Dubba dubba dubba.
Yeah, and they were like, we're doing this thing like, hey, Chicago, it's Adam and Drew from Loveline here on the dubba dubba. And, you know, we could never figure it out.
We go dubba 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 WB. And they go,
no, we wouldn't do it that way.
Dubba 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 WB. Okay. Dubba, it would be.
I never had to do that many dubbas.
Yeah, see, Drew, you did it right the first time.
I only had to do like three dubbas.
No, I remember it was like 9 or 11 or something. We kept doing 6 or 7.
No, here's the deal. It's the dubba 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 dubba. It's the dubba 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 WB.
And then Adam would start screaming, it doesn't matter. This is retarded.
This is a horrible campaign. This is going to be gone. What idiot thought of this? Why you guys? Whoever thought of this should have been fired.
They did it for a while.
I know. They did it for about a year and a half.
And now we don't have the frog anymore.
And then it went away.
The frog isn't cool.
I'm not saying that people don't stick. I'm not saying that people don't stick with bad ideas and F them out until they're in the ground. It doesn't make them good ideas.
Yeah.
They made the Pontiac Aztec. They rolled a few thousand off the line. Doesn't mean it didn't suck when it was on paper 3 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No one will raise their hand and say this is a horrible idea, or if they do, they're ostracized. That's the part I don't like. All those times I raised my hand, Drew, and you just folded your arms. Think about it. You knew stuff was bad.
No, I knew.
You knew it was bad.
You don't even... Oh, I was pathetic.
Yeah. Sophia?
Yeah.
22?
Yeah.
What's up, baby doll?
I have trust issues, like really bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good because I'm married.
Mm.
Did you begin with trust issues, or did something happen to give you trust issues?
No, usually when I get into a relationship, I don't know, for some reason I have problems trusting people completely.
So where did you learn that? That people aren't trustworthy?
I don't know.
Your dad take off?
No. Well, my parents split up when I was really young, like 6 months old.
And where'd your dad go?
I lived with my dad. He was in the military.
Where'd your mom go? That's even
weirder. My mom went to the East Coast. She was also in the military. That's one of the reasons they split up.
All right. Yeah, you couldn't both be in the military.
And
there's
why
not enough
did,
room in this man's army.
And why did
what
she
What would you guys talk about?
Not
no,
take
no
you.
Common ground.
Why didn't she take you?
Well, they both decided that it would be best if I lived with my dad. I don't
why?
Know why.
She doesn't know why. And then how long were you away from your mom?
I just started getting to know her when I was 12.
All right.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's horrible. And
that'll
it suggests
some
something's up with your mom, and
yeah.
It also suggests she wasn't raised normally by normal parents
right.
either, because no woman who was raised in a healthy environment would let her young child go move to another coast and, I'll catch you about seventh grade, baby. How about that?
Yeah, well, my grandmother was schizophrenic, so that doesn't really help.
There you go. That's the problem. That's your mom had to deal with a schizophrenic parent. She doesn't know what it feels like to have a parent.
Yeah.
And
when
she's doing that to you.
When you show me a mom that is not so interested in her own child, or, and let me just explain that. Every mom makes that claim. Oh, I love my daughter. I love my daughter. Yeah, you're living in Florida. She's in New Jersey.
Yeah, that's bad.
But I love her. Of course you love her. I love everyone.
Yeah, it's bad.
You're not raising your daughter. And it's not just you're a bad person or you're mean. There's something missing horribly.
Mm-hmm.
In you, and I'm sure you were raised by people that were apart or abusive or whatever it is.
There's even a part of the brain that's involved. It's called the anterior cingulate gyrus.
No,
that is really
telling me.
Not working right, these folks.
All right. Sophia.
Yes.
Hang on, baby doll. We got to take a break. Drew did so much talking at the beginning part of the show. Now we're up against the top of the hour.
Okay.
All right, but just hang tight. We'll tell you what to do.
Okay.
Where's your man? Strip club right now, or where is he?
No, he's actually in the bedroom playing a game.
All right.
Dungeons and Dragons?
No, it's
no.
Diablo thing.
Awesome. Awesome.
Here we go.
Okay. Another one. Guys making the proclamation that they play, 10 hours of video games a day and stuff. Like, when did this become okay?
Yeah.
No shame at all?
You should hide it.
I don't know anything about cars, but I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something about what the hell's the one with the car? Grand Theft Auto 5. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you how to get to Sector 11. Really? You're saying this out loud, There's no Silver Surfer.
People are hearing this.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Call the line. We'll be right back. Love line. We'll be right back.
Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Beverly Mitchell in studio tonight.
Yeah.
Beverly from Saw 2.
I love those claps.
And Seventh Heaven. Drew, remember when we used to do the show back in the day over at Westwood One and you and Ann would chat in the hallway?
Yes.
And I would always tell you have to be in after the commercial.
Yes.
But sometimes you wouldn't do it.
Right.
And then I stopped talking.
Yes.
I was given that as an example to somebody. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, when you tell people, like, hey, you got to do this, or hey, you really need to do that, it doesn't usually work. What does work is when they just get a little consequence.
Right.
And then you're done.
Right.
Even the great Dr. Drew needed a little prod there, right?
A little tweaking.
Yeah, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not taking a dig at you,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't imperative before. And I just remember poor engineer Mike and maybe even Anderson like pointing the finger at me. Go.
And you would.
Go. And I would just be silent because Drew wasn't in here. And it was funny. It'd be like, yeah, but say Drew's not in here. And I wouldn't say Drew wasn't in here. I would just be silent. And then Drew would come running because someone would go running down the hall to go scream at him. But you know what?
It worked.
Never happened again. Mm-hmm. You see? No. Mm-hmm. Everly? This seems uncomfortable for you right now, but it's not. It's all right.
No, I'm good.
This is us. It's an interesting thing.
I'm very comfortable.
It's just who we are.
Yeah.
We're nudists. We're emotional nudists. Okay. We let it all hang out. Oh, yeah. Got my coffee. Thank you, sweetie. Thank you. Emotionally nude.
Huh?
Drew, like when you teach your kids, that's how you got to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do that thing where you just got to take away that whatever. Do whatever, right?
You just do whatever. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
No, you just do whatever you got to do. You just do it.
Yeah. Now, you know what came up?
Mm.
Was the... doing every time I do this TLC show, I do these voiceovers, and the TLC folks want tons of voiceovers.
Right.
They want me doing a home improvement show, and they want me like yelling at a guy like, "Hey, give me that piece of wood," and then they want me to sneak in real fast like, "What doesn't he understand about the piece of wood?" in a voiceover, and then back to me going, "Thank you." You know what I mean? And I keep telling them, "You're effing up the show. It doesn't feel like a documentary. I'm not going to do all this." And they just keep, And I keep telling them, and they keep adding it on. So they built a nice gap in for me to do a VO, and the show was locked off. And I said, "Well, I'm not doing it." And they're like, "Well, then it's going to be a big gap." And I'm like, "Well, what are you going to do? Now you got a nice big gap. Well, it's going to be weird." "Uh-huh. Yes, it will." "Okay. It's fine." You have to take it, too, by the way. You got to take it for the team.
Like, right.
I got to be the one with the weird gap in the show. But if you do it, they'll listen.
The whole VO thing is just a horrible instinct.
Yes, it is.
Its visual medium tells the story. It's a documentary.
Oh, you don't know.
I mean, what a horrible instinct to drop in sort of balloon comments, you know, sort of thought bubbles that are already obvious from the story.
And they always sound weird, too.
They sound retarded. Yeah,
and it's like, I'm not hovering over the show making jokes about the show. When these guys are effing up, I shouldn't be seeing it if I'm at home.
Shouldn't be what?
Seeing them screw up on the job site if I'm at somewhere else.
Oh, you shouldn't be. Right, making comments on it. And we at home watching it should understand the implications.
Oh, baby. No way. No way. Sophia?
Yeah.
I got to do a session tomorrow. I can already smell the battle. What's going on? All right. So you have trust issues.
Yes.
Parents in the military.
Yeah. Mom is impaired because of her schizophrenic mom herself and was unable to sort of be available to raise you. There's abandonment issues there. And thereby, when you get involved in relationships, you'll be panicky about them leaving or make them leave to be in control of the whole process of being sort of taking control over the fear of abandonment. You make people leave.
Do you have kids?
No.
Good. Why not? Something wrong with you?
No, we've only been married a year and a half, so we don't feel like we should have kids yet.
And aren't you only 22?
Yeah.
Old maid.
Love line.
Old maid.
22, she has 12 kids.
We want to be able to, you know, go places, have fun before we have to have kids.
Okay.
What, did your husband do anything to make you not trust him?
Well, yeah, about 8 months into our marriage, he did cheat on me. And since then, he hasn't, you know, done anything to make me not trust him, but...
You say 8 months of the marriage. I say almost three-quarters of a year, right?
Yeah,
about three-quarters of a year.
Yeah, she's overstating it.
Yeah, that's a long time.
What did he do exactly?
Well, he actually slept with another woman.
Had sex.
Yes.
And you're just okay with that,
Well, hold on. Was this an old girlfriend?
No, actually, I guess he met her through work, and he had been talking with her, and, you know, they were just friends, but then she wanted to be more than friends. And
You sound remarkably...
Yeah, that's how it works, by the way.
Yeah, it's her fault.
She wanted to be more than friends.
He was also mad at me that night. And
why?
Had gone to her for advice about women, and things went too far.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, Sophia. Were you raised in a fishbowl or something? Come on.
No.
Snow globe,
yeah.
Yeah, she drowned in a fishbowl.
She's a villager in a snow globe.
Yeah, once in a while, kid come and shake her up, shake her head on the thing.
Yeah, come on, Sophia. Your husband is an adult. He is, you know, command of his own ship. He goes over to somebody else's house and sleeps with them. He's 8 months into a marriage. That's horrible behavior.
Regardless of whether he's
things
mad
went
at
too
her.
Far, regardless of anything.
Yeah. It's irregardless, by the way. But yes, I know what you're saying. Yeah, but it's just. All these chicks that make excuses for the guy.
He
went to pick her brain, her vagina, find out about the ladies.
Yeah, and just one thing led to another. What are you going to do?
Sure. Yeah, he showed up with a bottle of Hennessy and five condoms. One thing led to another. Yeah, and a jumbo thing of foil to put on the windows. Sophia.
Yes.
I don't trust this guy. Plus, he's in the bedroom trying to contact the devil right now. What's he playing? What game is he playing in the bedroom?
It's some RPG computer game.
Mm-hmm. That has to do with Satan?
I don't know. He's fighting demons and that.
All right,
okay,
hold on a second.
Sophia, a little S-bomb.
Yeah, she dropped the S-bomb, so put her on hold so we can reboot. But they haven't had kids, and I can't figure out why. You think she's on birth control? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She just sounds like dirt clod dumb and royally effed up.
It's a depot. It's a job for depot.
It's a job for depot?
Yeah.
Like the military stabbed her with it or something?
Right.
Sophia, you on depot?
I was for almost a year.
Yeah, there we go.
What? How does that work? How do we know that? Are people? Did somebody just feel, you're walking down the street one day and felt a sharp sting in between your shoulder blades and a black Humvee went by? Two guys with wrap around shades high fived each other and they just sped around the corner.
A little prong in her neck, little two marks in her neck.
She heard. Yeah, who? How'd you get the depot?
I myself am in the military, so I get free. Whoa.
Now it's starting to fit together, right?
And,
yeah.
Here's
people
do
not disappoint.
You guys are good.
Well, to me, here's the thing. I'm never not looking through the lens. I just have to turn it a few times, just and then pow,
well, because
it comes into focus.
Well, they send us the image out of focus.
Right.
They give us the image blurry.
It takes us a while to unscramble the image.
I can't figure out what that is.
That's right.
Oh.
That's right.
Oh, okay. All right.
Did she say she was in the military?
No.
She said her parents were in the military.
Yes.
How did I know you were in the military?
Because the only thing that makes sense is that what else would contain this from having children?
Yeah. All right. So what are you on now for birth control?
Well, I just stopped taking birth control because we do want to have kids in the future, but it's going to take, doctors say it takes like a year for me to be able
to. Yeah, 6 months.
Right. Okay.
6 months.
I knew. See, I said, do you have any kids? She said, no. I said, something's up. Why not? She's, we're just not ready.
Yes.
We got some traveling. We got some living to do. And I'm like, she's not on birth control. She's not on birth control. She's not on birth control. And then I announced she's too dumb to be on birth control. And then I worked the military in. And then you bring Depo up. And now we're all back up to speed. None of which we got from Sophia. I just know this is not the voice of a responsible person that's in one of those commercials.
Right, she's not. He is not. He's playing Diablo. He's not doing laundry.
Right, and here's the thing: when we say in the military, and you are in the military, and you haven't told us you're in the military, feel free to volunteer the fact that you are in the military.
It'd be even really nice or cool if you said, "God, how'd you know that? That's amazing."
It would be awesome, except for when you're stupid, you don't know that. Just like your dog doesn't know when you put the water out when it's thirsty and stuff. It doesn't go like, "Oh, hey, wow, I had a real cotton mouth going."
You know?
Thank you. I owe you. I owe you. No, you're just stupid. All you do, you go through your whole life reacting. Unless, here's the other thing. Here's the thing that's interesting. Here's what you do when you're stupid. The guy claims to be a psychic. And he goes, I picture green or brown, the color of green or brown or black.
Yes. How'd you know that?
I'm in the military. Wear a green uniform. Oh, my God, this guy's.
Jesus.
Rasputin. Oh, my God, he's got a gift. That guy who throws out a couple of... I see a vowel or consonant. Vowel or consonant. J, R, an A, an E, an I, an O, or U, or an S. Anything? My stepdad had a name ended with an M. Yes.
You think about it.
Think about it. Yeah, that guy's a genius. Us figuring out she's on the depot in the military, not on birth control right now. No. That's nothing.
Sophia, is there any chance either of you are going to be shipped out?
It'd be nice.
By the way, I'm putting him in the military, too. Is that the right move?
Only for... Well, no, he was in the military. He's not in it anymore.
Oh, how come? Uh-oh.
Administrative...
Uh-oh.
Stuff.
Oh,
this is
baby.
All... Now it's really starting to come into focus.
Now I'm going to ask you to fill your vagina with cement. Before, I wanted you to get on birth control. Now, I want to actually entomb your vulva.
Is brick okay? Can you brick it up? We have to fill it with cement.
I like to fill it with cement, and I like that because I'm number 4 rebar in there, too, because we're an earthquake country. You know what I mean? I want that given way.
Yeah, yeah. It's
having
important.
Cervix fall out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, who cares? Cervix fall, that'd be a good thing.
Well, you may be right. Yeah. It's the kids that she's not going to have.
Okay, so Sophia, he was in the military, which, by the way, I felt this coming through.
Thrown out for disciplinary problems?
Yeah.
Oh,
and he's cheating. What the?
What the F? So Sophia's the bad guy.
Yeah.
But then you wouldn't know that because your mom wasn't around.
Right. Sorry, baby. Okay, listen, Sophia.
Yeah.
Please listen to me.
Do not get pregnant.
Do not get pregnant.
Rebar and cement.
You are not on birth control anymore.
Get back on it.
Okay.
You understand?
He's not in condition.
It's not funny. This guy was thrown out of the military, and he's in the bedroom trying to contact the devil right now. You understand? And he cheated on you not a year. Not a year into the marriage.
It's a horrible
thing. He's bad.
And blame the woman he cheated with. Or you participated in that blaming.
Right. Okay. That's awful. Just don't get pregnant because this thing's going to dissolve pretty soon. And when it does, we don't want the baggage of the kids.
We don't want you going somewhere. No.
Yes.
I do not want a child going off with him while you go off with the military like your mom did. You understand what you're setting up here?
Okay.
You're setting up your family of origin all over again.
Said it 1,000 times. Please, listen. If you're dumb, just listen to smart people, and you will be smart, too. That's all you have to do.
You won't be smart, but you'll be happier.
What? You get all the benefits of being dumb,
and
which
smart.
Can be blissful, and you get to live a successful life because you've listened to smart people. It's the whole thing. Look, here's how it goes, everybody. People have a field of expertise. There's people that are good with investments. I know nothing about investments, the markets, Wall Street, any of that stuff. I go to a guy who knows about it. I give him my money. He makes me money. That's how it works. I don't claim I know how to do it. And it's the same when the car needs fixing. And it's the same when the back needs adjusting. And I'm not going to do my own hernia surgery. I'll have a guy who's an expert do that. Okay, we understand that concept very well, do we not?
Yeah.
Do that with your life, too. Take a look at smart people. Are they crapping out a bunch of kids and hooked up with a guy cheating on them who got drummed out of the Marines? No. Pretend as if, Drew says.
Act as if. As if you were sane. As if you were smart.
That's right. Julie?
Hey.
26?
Yes.
Oh, this guy throw. And you know what it takes to get
thrown
out
of
the military.
It's like being thrown out of a fraternity.
Yeah, it's like getting out. It's like if junior colleges had fraternities, it'd be like you being tossed out because your GPA was too low.
Right.
Do you know what that takes?
It takes some doing.
You know what that takes.
Takes some effort.
Takes some doing.
Yeah. You're in a business where your job is to kill people, and you know what? Not cutting it. You're scaring us. You got to leave.
You're scaring us, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, here's a gun. We'd like you to shoot people, but you know what? I think you crossed the line.
We need violence from you, but look, not that much.
Sorry.
Violence. Really?
You're out. Yeah. It's not like you know, I understand if the person's running a yoga studio and you made an off-colored remark and they canned you, but you're in the military. What it takes to get you out of the military? Oh, my God. Julie?
Hey.
What's up?
First of all, Adam, I have to tell you, I was bouncing off the walls last night listening to you rant over that 19-year-old from wherever in California about comparing, you know, how much it's going to cost for Drew's kids to take
care of. Oh, that was good. Yes.
I mean, I was dying. I loved it. If you got through to any white trash or just... You know,
hey, now you're being condescending, Julie. Watch out now.
I'm sorry. Bottom of the barrel, anything, anyone, you know, kudos to you because that was amazing.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I mean, I don't have a particularly scandalous, you know, skanky, any kind of issue.
What do you,
we got to keep moving then.
No.
We got to keep moving. She said she wasn't skanky.
She had nothing skanky to talk about, but maybe she is skanky. You don't know.
She didn't say she wasn't. Okay.
Well,
Julie?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, baby doll.
Okay. I realized that it's absolutely normal for most females to not be able to have a vaginal orgasm. Mm-hmm. I have a very healthy relationship, a sexual relationship with my boyfriend, and I am only able to climax through oral stimulation.
Right.
But I heard about, at first I heard on Howard Stern actually interviewed this woman, and then I read up on it in Hustler.
Those are great medical sources, by the way, Julie.
She went to the medical library over at Arizona State and got some back issues.
Basically, the thing is...
That's awesome.
Hold on, Julie.
Need the Hustler, 2003, April. There's a horse taking a leak on a gal. Yeah, there it is.
That's the Archives of Internal Medicine, next Archives of Psychiatry. There's the Hustler right there.
There it is. Yeah.
All right. Basically, it's this
spring break edition.
It's a shot or something. What I'm gathering is that it's a shot that women can get that basically engorges their G-spot with blood, or I don't know if it's a hormonal thing, but that makes the G-spot more adept to
let me just offer an opinion, just playing the odds. No way. No way. Because the Viagra research on women was abandoned because you can engorge, you can cause lots of arousal in that region and lots of engorgement, but you can't change orgasmic function. You can't change drive in women by doing anything to that area. So Viagra was shown to have little or no effect in most women.
Trying.
Yeah. And so, and also research has shown recently that you, that, that the means whereby you orgasm is something that's genetically determined. So you can't move somebody from one category to the next.
That's what I've been saying.
Okay, see, because
all these years.
I know, and I've heard you guys talk about this too, but I've talked to my sisters on this subject, them are able.
Isn't that weird?
What's that?
Isn't that weird?
No, it's not weird. No, we're very. I mean, we're very close like that. We both. I mean, like they can have orgasms from intercourse.
Right, that's them.
Yeah, right. That's them, and I can't. So that's why that's what made me question the genetic thing about it. Like.
No, each person, each person has their own genetic makeup,
right.
And that is set, and that's that. It's not as though everyone in the family gets to have multiple orgasms. It's just you get your genetic makeup, your configuration,
well,
and that's yours.
The orgasmins over there.
The orgasmins, yes.
Good SNL sketch name, orgasmins. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. You have it your way. Your sister has it her way. The great minds come together over some potato salad and try to hash things out, work on the gene pool and the DNA. But that's how it goes. And what is it with everyone talking to their family about it? I mean, we talk to people all the time. I talk to my mother about her clitoral megula. And it's like, what? Yeah, she said her mother, too, had a giant clitoris. It's like, what? What? I don't look my mom in the eye when I talk. I look down at her feet. I'm scared that even eye contact would be too weird. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Give her a hug like someone just tipped an ironing board up against me and I smacked it two times on the back. Walk out.
But Matt hugs her.
Go home, take a shower.
She gets her hugs from Matt. He told me.
Gay assistant Matt. How's this stuff about talking to your parents about sex and stuff? My dad has that syndrome where the urine comes out of two holes in his urethra.
Yes.
Phimosis and some stenosis.
Here, son, tickle the phimosis.
Phimosis, stenosis, and a little Peyronie's disease. He dresses to the left.
Here's where they
He's
cut my
foreskin.
He's
cut, but it's heavily scarred.
Right. Here, look, son.
I spoke to him about my penis. Ooh. What's up? I don't make eye contact with my family. I look down when I talk, and I just hope it's just... My plan is if I look up, they'll be gone. That's
well,
my
you just
plan.
You just keep moving. Just put your head down and keep moving.
Just keep moving. Yeah, like a big celebrity in a shopping mall. Just you got to walk with purpose. You know, put that iPod on, put the iPod
just
in,
keep
and keep
going.
Walking.
Yeah.
Walk like you're going somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they run into the
bathroom.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's take ourselves a quick break. Beverly Mitchell here tonight. Saw 2, out Friday, this Friday, y'all.
This Friday.
28th, and also of course. Chainsaw.
David Allen Greer's Chainsaw.
Seventh Heaven. Yeah. Harlan Williams. Oh, yeah, yeah. Wait a minute. Wasn't he coming
up? Yeah, it's coming up maybe in a week or so.
All right. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Love Line. We'll be right back.
Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Beverly Mitchell.
Yup.
In studio tonight. Born and raised on the mean streets of Silmar. had to find her way out of the valley. Get up to the Shanana School for doo-wop bands. And seventh. Since, you say 14 or 15?
I started when I was 15.
Seventh Heaven. How did that work?
Well, I started acting when I was 4.
Oh, yeah?
I was throwing a temper tantrum in the mall. Somebody thought I was cute.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 20 years later.
You got discovered?
I did Saw 2. Yeah.
Wow.
Who discovered you?
This manager, actually, Corey Feldman's mom. Yeah. She discovered me, said I should be in the business, and said I was a cute, precocious little kid.
Really? Just because you were...
Well, I was throwing a temper tantrum because my aunt hadn't had kids at that point. I'm very food driven, mm-hmm. and I only work according to my food schedule. Mm-hmm. And she wouldn't stop to feed me while we were shopping.
Your aunt wouldn't.
My aunt, no. Mm-hmm. So I saw what the other kids were doing and decided to take part and threw myself on the ground and started pounding
and
my fist and crying
two?
And screaming. Four.
Four. I started working.
Yeah, two would not work.
So
four.
So you, Corey Feldman's mom.
Was in the mall and said, wow, that kid's cute. I don't understand it. It still to this day makes me laugh because I don't think kids throwing a temper tantrum in a mall are
well, you had
adorable,
it.
You know.
You had it, baby.
Yeah, apparently I screamed. I guess I had a, maybe that's where I got my scream for Saw 2. You
know? Ooh, nice.
At age four.
And so then what happened at age four?
I got an agent and I started auditioning. And I mean, I'm an only child, so... Right. I've always been very comfortable with adults, not comfortable with kids my own age. Mm-hmm. So you put me in a room with adults and I'll just, I'd talk back and they're like, wow, this kid's got personality.
What was your first gig?
My first gig was an AT&T commercial, but my first big one was an Oscar Mayer commercial.
Which one?
I did not sing the song. I complained to the bakery man, but it aired for like 6 years.
The bakery man?
Yeah.
And you made money.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I paid for my school since I was... Since
really?
I've been in school.
And your parents, whose parents don't make a lot of money?
Well, my mom, my parents didn't make a lot of money. My mom always continued to work, but she had to take a lot of time off to take me on auditions and everything. And
so you would just get commercials and parts and
I did a lot of commercials, and I did Baywatch and Melrose Place and a bunch of shows. And
then you get to Seventh Heaven.
Yeah, I auditioned and, you know... It was honestly a dream come true. And it was so funny because the very first time we went to network, and that's when, you know, they're picking the final cast. They brought all of us in the room together. It was David, Jesse, me, Mackenzie, and Barry had taken off. And they put you in a room with 20 people and they just stare at you.
Yeah.
They just sit there and they stare at you. And you sit there for 5 minutes. And finally I was just like, so, how's your day? Because I didn't know what to do. I was so awkward. I was just like, I felt like a zoo animal, but you know, and then we got the part and 10 years later, here we are.
Yeah.
We.
Well, or the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you say we, you mean that the cast was sitting there at that time?
Yeah,
the cast. Yeah.
Yeah, because we're all, well, and it's amazing because they're all my family members now. Like Jesse is my best friend in the world. I love her.
Jessica Biel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sexiest woman of the year, I guess, or something from Esquire magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think she's sexy. She's a goofball. She's
really
nerd.
Tomboy.
Oh, tomboy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Couldn't get a date to her prom.
She got a date to my prom. I didn't get a date to my prom.
She got a date to your prom?
Yeah.
Well,
but I had to ask someone to be my date.
How did, you're precocious and, you know, you intimidate men. That's all.
Yeah.
That's what we'll call it.
I was just the ugly duckling of the group, and it was fun.
You blossomed. Look at you.
Yeah, it just took me a while. Right. It's a late bloomer.
Well, look, better. let me tell you something. Everyone wants to be gorgeous in the belle of the ball in the seventh and eighth grade. That passes very quickly.
Yeah,
I've seen them go both directions. I've seen the hot chicks, the super popular chicks, seventh, eighth grade, not doing so well by the time they're a year out of high school. Whatever happened, there was a shift. And I've seen it go the other way. I had a girlfriend that wasn't attractive when I was in the seventh grade, and then she got smoking hot. Later on, it was a thorn. It was a burr in my saddle. It drove me nuts that she was all smoking hot now.
Wouldn't talk to you anymore.
And she would talk to me just to rub it in a little bit, but it was horrible. And there's this weird like entitlement thing, like, hey, come on, baby. It's the ace man from the seventh grade. Nah, I'm hot now.
Oof.
Yeah, sucked. Still bitter. Dave?
Yep.
Went from Esther to Estee.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Estee Chiladenka?
You can hear the hotness just in the voice change right there.
Estee Chiladenka? Whose kitchen you burned down?
Yeah. I dated her. She was Esther, and then she became Estee and got hot. Nothing to do with me.
Whose dad was the big ball buster?
Dad was, as far as I could tell, in... I would say he was in the like Israeli mafia is about the best I could tell. Claimed to be a contractor, but I'm going Israeli mafia. Yeah. And when I burnt down their kitchen, he was not happy. Dave?
Yeah.
What's up?
What up? What's going on? Adam, you're hilarious, bro. I love your love up late with Adam. It's great.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Up late with Adam? Is that what he said?
So, it's fine. The question for Dr. Drew.
Comedy Central.
Yeah, Dave.
I got a burst blood vessel on my penis.
What do you mean?
Well, okay, so going down from the head and then halfway to the shaft and then, like, going back up, it looks like there was a vein, you know, that I never noticed before.
So it is just a purple spot on the surface, or is it like a tire bleb?
It's like a protrusion, and the whole vein is like hard now. And
you call it a tire bleb? The tubes coming out of the side?
Yeah, a little ball coming off the side.
Call that a bleb, yeah, huh? Right,
what do you exactly. call it? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm going to call it a bleb.
Yeah, cut in the lung when lung develops stuff like that.
We call it a bleb. Yeah. I like it. Go ahead, Dan.
Anyways, that's about it. It's like
is it distorting the penis? Is it pulled to one side or the other?
No. I mean, there's no real problems except... Just
so, again, try to stay with me. Is it just on the skin, or is it in the deeper structure, the thing that gets hard?
It's just on the skin.
All right. You might want to get that looked into. It happened spontaneously? You didn't hurt it or anything? Traumatize it?
Well, slam it in a cab door? Happened to me once.
No.
Did the clot form first, or did the purple part, the bleb?
I think I did it during sex. I was having a hard time, penetrating or whatever, and it showed up a couple days later. It wasn't like the day afterwards. It was more like...
All right, so it's probably just a little superficial blood vessel, and the little hard spot's probably just a hematoma that's
maybe
just...
Maybe he got going and tacoed his penis. You know,
no, no, but that would be bad times. See, that would be... That's a tear in the actual cavernous body, and that needs a surgical to repair it.
Is there a way for that to show up with the... What I'm describing, the accordion
taco,
job.
Yeah.
Not a soft taco, everybody. Hard shell. Yeah, we're old school.
Got it.
But when you taco the penis, is there a way to create that, or is that just going to tear the cavernous body?
I mean, can you do it without tearing things?
Well, could you taco it, do some damage, but not tear that body?
Yeah, you can. But the kind of thing he's got is usually because of something on the surface, like something.
Friction.
Abrading it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk to Danielle. Danielle?
Hi.
20?
Oh, I just want to say that I love your show.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Actually, I have two kind of separate things. One is me being bisexual, and the other one is my attraction to older men since I've been younger.
Mm-hmm. What did older men do to you when you were younger?
Mm-hmm. No, I just, when I was 13, I ended up dating my brother's best friend, who was, I think, 17 at the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you have sex?
Later, when I was 15.
15?
Right before I turned 16.
Did you date him straight through for that period of time?
No, it started out as the whole, you know, I think your friend's cute, and my brother went over to him, and I guess he had a crush on me, so we ended up dating for a week, but he never talked to me.
Then he had sex 2 years later?
Then we started dating when I was 15, and it was probably about 5 months into the relationship.
All right.
Okay. So, and what about the bisexuality part?
Wait. First of all, by older guys, how much older are you talking about?
Well, it started off with, you know, a 3.5-year difference with him, and then it's gone to, I've never dated anyone my own age.
How much older?
Hold on a second. Let's just do a little reenactment. Okay. I like older guys. I date older guys.
How much older?
Well, it started off back in the 50s. He was 3.5 years older than me.
How much older are the guys?
How much older? I've never dated anyone my age. Not my exact age. You know, they're always at least a couple days or hours older than me. I did date a guy who was born on the same date as I was, but I was born in at 5 p.m., and he was born actually 3 in the afternoon.
Two hours older.
Any other questions I can shed any light on? Keep going. Danielle?
Yeah. The biggest age difference, of course, when I was 19, he was 33.
Mm. That's pretty big.
It's pretty good.
Does that feel right to you?
It does and it doesn't. I mean, it really doesn't bother me, but, like, my friends have made certain comments to me.
Mm-hmm. What about the lesbian part or the bisexual part? Have you been with women?
Yes.
And you could go either way, or you prefer men?
I can probably go either way. It's
She's waiting too long with her answers. She doesn't seem angry, but she's a little evasive, and there is that three Mississippi in between answers, which would suggest some hostility, but yet with some therapy or something.
I immediately got peer-on-peer thing going.
Peer-on-peer.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyone nail you on a peer? Is that what you're talking about,
Drew? Did you experiment when you were a little kid with other girls?
It was probably when I was about 10. I was attracted to women, but I never knew exactly like what to call it.
You never fooled around physically when you were younger than that?
No.
And did anybody ever sexually abuse you?
That's a big green light.
Yeah. Okay, what happened?
A family member when I was like 7 had.
It's interesting. She's not aware of that. That three Mississippi just hits me in the chest. It's like,
Yeah. Did you get some help for it?
No.
Never spoke to anybody.
I had brought it up. I mean, it's something that I had kind of blocked out of memory for a good set of years.
You never had any treatment for it?
Not for that, no. I had a psychiatrist back when I was, 16?
For what?
I had tried different suicides.
Right. How long did the psychiatrist thing go on for you?
Just for a few weeks. And then when my brother had passed away, I think the day of his funeral or the day after was the last day that I saw him.
What'd he die from?
He died from a gunshot.
Hold on a second. All right.
He died from his heart stopping.
Gunshot. All right. Well, now here's the thing with that Danielle, which is we're on our game tonight.
Evasive.
And I say we, I'll say I. I'm on my game. She didn't sound angry in her tone, which is strange because normally you hear it in the tone. But when you're evasive and you take a three Mississippi in between answers and the answers don't shed any light and really have nothing to do with the questions, that means you're angry and it means you got molested.
Yeah.
And that's how this show works. Now, I don't know why I have to ring everyone like a bar rag to get it out of them, but... And then didn't dawn on me because her tone was cool. But then you got that long...
Especially when we asked about molestation. There was a huge, like a crazy beat.
Mississippi, yeah. Two Mississippi. It's how you tell everyone to F off. That's really how it works. When you're pissed at someone and they go, how long have you been in the country? And you go, 3 years. And they go,
and pull back.
Okay, do you plan on staying? And you're like, yes. That's telling you F you. And it's a weird thing.
I'm learning a lot tonight.
Yes. When you get that, when you get those long, long answers, long pauses between answers are angry people.
Yeah.
Now, think about happy people. They start answering the question before.
Jump on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're always like, and when you go to college, what are you going to major? Poli-sci. They pound on it. Like you didn't even get to the end.
You get excited.
You get to the end of your sentence. They hopped right on it. Danielle, that means good in the sack, too, by the way.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
What?
Danielle? All right, baby, you're angry and you need some therapy. And your brother with the bullet, what the hell happened?
I'm not quite sure on that one, actually. They marked it as a suicide, but it could have been homicide. So they had to mark it as a suicide so we could ship his body back out here to get him buried.
Yeah. Why do you think they would mark it as a suicide if it was a homicide?
Well, he had an inheritance. We didn't have the same fathers. And we have the same mom and different dads. And his grandfather had left him a pretty good inheritance.
Right, $1,700 bucks. Mm-hmm. How much?
I don't personally know the details, but I know it was over $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been about $500,000, I'm not sure.
Right, and what happened?
And he had left his father a dollar, which... didn't make him exactly too happy, and he was kind of like, he was in my life for 3 years, out of my life for 3 years, just back and forth. And his dad took him back because he wanted the money, and he found out that he couldn't get to his money until he had turned 21. And he died before he was 21, and his dad ended up getting the money.
This isn't making any sense.
Like, so are you saying you think his biological dad shot him and made it look like suicide?
No, actually, he was dating his dad's best friend's supposed ex-girlfriend.
Aha!
Right.
Well, that's nothing.
Right.
Exactly. Huzzah.
What, Danielle.
Stop with her gun and a lot of other things.
Oh, well, of course. I mean, it's all on page five. Drew, did you see the autopsy report? Yeah. We pulled the records. Yeah, I can see
and
it.
And what drugs was he doing?
To my knowledge, actually, when he was alive, I didn't know a lot of this, but I ended up finding out that he had been doing, like, cocaine.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Danielle, it's only a two-hour show. We understand we don't know about the gun and the chicks you're dating and stuff. We're trying to finish something you started.
Here's the deal. He's a drug addict. He's in chaotic relationships. Could have been a drug deal gone bad.
I was straight. I was not there. You understand I wasn't there.
Right.
You understand I wasn't there.
Drug addict isn't doing a lot of planning about inheritance and stuff and who's going to get it and what and all that kind of stuff. And by the way, the police wouldn't let, can't release the thing until they've closed the deal on a homicide. It's got to be closed.
Danielle, you are a mess, baby.
Yeah.
And your family is a mess. And you need to get some counseling.
Yes.
Do you understand?
There's all kinds of chaos.
Did you hear that one?
Yeah, that,
do you understand? Yeah, so angry, baby. Angry at the world. Have fun being angry at the world. You know who's going to get the S kicked out of them? You.
I don't view myself as honestly being an angry person.
Yeah, I know. I know you don't. Nobody does.
I'm a completely pleasant person to be around. I'm not violent. I don't scream and yell.
It's passive aggressive.
It's passive aggressive. It's why it takes you 5 minutes to answer yes or no questions.
Well, they're just not exactly easy.
Oh, see, you hopped right on that one, didn't you? You got on that one, didn't you? Because I didn't need something from you. I made an accusation, and you had to fix it. But when I needed a piece of information, you made me wait.
Well, it's not exactly an easy subject when you get into, more.
I understand. This is tough love. You got to get some help.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
You've gone through
a
lot. And now you're all confused sexually.
We got sexual abuse. We got addiction. We got multiple parents. Chaos.
Yeah,
intrigue and death.
Don't argue with us. I'm telling you, you're angry. You're effed up. Your family's a mess.
Sexual identity is confused.
Just go get some help. You're 20. There's nothing wrong with you. Just get some. You need to fix this.
You need to sort things out a bit.
That's all.
You need to have a relationship with.
Me being attracted to older men is.
Least of your worries.
These are all symptoms of very serious internal issues.
Right. Please, everybody. What happened? Does no one know anything about this?
No, how come?
You know, we launch these campaigns against senior abuse, and we launch these campaigns about buckling up, and all these campaigns about water conservation, all this recycling BS, all this sort of neither here nor there BS that no one gives a rat's anus about. Stop senior abuse, click the thing in, Woodsy Al's telling you to do something, Smokey Bear's got another plan, McGruff's got another thing about leaving your laptop at the airport. Nothing. We don't want to talk about anything important in this country.
Mental health is completely unraveling.
We're disintegrating, and we're having to take care of all these people. We're worried about laptops. Yeah, Denmark can worry about laptops. We got bigger fish to fry over here. Yeah.
Everybody thinks it's so negative when you go to talk to someone. I thought it was great.
It's a good thing.
Yes.
I've never felt better.
No.
And you pay someone just to listen to you for like a full hour and you can just run off.
It's awesome. I know.
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
You don't even need it this way.
You don't even need it like this.
No, I just had issues about people calling me.
Right.
But I feel better now.
Yeah.
I realize my issue.
Yeah. You're over it. Drew's over his. I'm over mine.
Well.
I think it's great. Everybody needs to talk to someone. Everybody's got some issue.
When you have this kind of disrupted, chaotic family, you've got people dying and addicted, and you've got sexual abuse. I mean, it's everything.
Right.
And to say, well, I've just dealt with it. I'm a happy person. Impossible.
Yeah.
It affects how your brain works, and that's got to be worked on.
Meanwhile, we got to
hold it all in.
The brain doesn't work. Right.
We got to focus on seatbelts. Nothing but nonstop seatbelt and secondhand smoke conversation for the last goddamn 10 years in this country. Nothing but secondhand smoke and seatbelts.
By the way, the secondhand smoke thing kind of.
Yeah, where'd that go?
Kind of went
where'd
away.
It go?
Yeah.
Toxic mold and secondhand smoke. Well, Drew, you know,
what was dead? Who was
six,
affected by
six
that?
Years ago, there was 55,000 Americans dying every year of secondhand smoke. What'd they do? We cleared up the problem.
They all died. They all died and they're gone. We got rid of the smoke in the restaurants and everything. All the people died.
No one's alive.
And you know lots of people died.
Everyone died.
Everyone knows somebody died of secondhand smoke, right?
Close your eyes and picture all the family members, the friends, the schoolmates. Everyone has died of secondhand smoke. Everyone knows someone. Everyone's been touched.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
Or maybe it's nobody, you liars. Lie. That's all he does, lie. What's the big distraction? What do we have to distract? Someone should sue these people. All right, let's take a break. I'm going to blow a cigarette. Take our Andrew and take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Dude, you got issues.
Call Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew, Beverly Mitchell, in tonight from Saw 2.
Yes.
Coming out this Friday, y'all. Oh, of course, 7th Heaven, 10th Fantastic Season, WWWWB. Yeah, Cindy.
Yeah.
22?
What?
22 years of age?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Basically, I have genital herpes.
And I'm seeing that commercial. You're very yeah. light-skinned black and being in a commercial with an iron behind you.
Can we talk to the guy who's folding the underwear behind you?
Folding the underwear behind him? Yeah, you have genital herpes and...
And I'm having a really hard time dating.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, I've tried all those herpes dating sites, and I've had some really, really horrible first dates.
Yeah. Why don't you just date normal guys and of course, it sounds like you're being very responsible and telling people and see what happens.
I just tried that.
And what happened?
Well, I dated him for about a month, ooh, and nothing happened. Uh-huh. And then when I told him, he totally freaked out and said I should have told him, like, on the first date. And I hadn't even kissed the guy yet.
Oh,
but
he's an asshole. You know what? That's asshole territory. This is almost a good thing.
Yeah,
you can't say that?
I don't know. Guess you can't say that.
All right, he's an a-hole. He's an a-hole, and he this is almost helping you sort out the a-holes from guys that actually give a damn about you.
I dated a chick at warts once, and
I guarantee you've done it more than once.
She told me after we got it on, but she was a model. I was so thankful she had sex with me. I was like, yeah, all right.
I'll deal with it.
Well, I also have a question, too, though. I mean, because I've read all the reports saying that it's passable even with a condom. That's
it is.
True, right?
It's possible. If you don't have an outbreak, or if you take the Valtrex to suppress viral shedding, you can really reduce the risk.
There she goes again.
Because I take all the medication.
There's some song going in the background too.
What's that?
Every time I stress out at all, I will break out, and so it's no fun.
All right. Well, hopefully. And how long have you had it?
8 months. My ex-boyfriend gave it to me.
All right. Okay. It's going to become much less frequent as time goes along.
Yes. Cindy, mm-hmm. you're not a leper. You're fine. And it'll go away. It's the first year, whatever, it's tough. It'll lessen. They have good medications now. You'll find the right guy. Don't stress out. Don't freak out. There's nothing wrong with you. You got a bad guy.
Yeah, that guy's an idiot.
That guy's an a-hole. You sound fine. I would like to go on one of those herpes websites and just start dating myself as the guy without herpes.
Right, you'd be a
fresh
commodity.
Blood. Hey, babies, I got a hymen. Who wants to pop it? You know what I mean? Come on, I'll put a condom on.
Finally, gross out, Beverly.
I'm not scared of you.
She's done.
I got a lesion hymen. I need it popped. Come on, virgin, right here. Who wants some? I'll put a condom on. Hey, I'll go animal skin. That's how bold I am.
Wow, break it out.
Bring it on.
Bring on the risk.
Whoa, just oral, baby. Whoa. You missed my email.
Got the mint-flavored condoms.
You didn't get my postings. All right, we'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah, that's it. Beverly Mitchell, everybody. Saw 2, y'all.
Well, thank you for having me. Thanks for coming.
She learned a lot.
I learned a lot. I have to make sure I watch those pauses.
Friday, October 28th.
That is not your problem. You don't have to worry about it. No.
You got other things, but we don't have time. So until next time, Sam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.